we're here to talk about sophrology. And as always, Lani, can you briefly describe sophrology for anyone who's wondering what the strange sounding word is?
Yeah. Sophrology is a study of conscious harmony. So it's basically a whole person strategy for creating wellness in the body. And it uses a combination of Western science and Eastern philosophy. And we focus on biological values, meaning we ground in the body first before we tackle any other kind of transformation or trauma or triggers or things that are going on. And just providing people with tools, internal tools, that they can use anytime, anywhere. It's not just, you don't need specific, you just need to have a human body in a chair to do sophrology.
Right. Okay. And you mentioned grounding first. I think that was the word, the way you put those words together. Why is that important?
Because we need to understand, we need to have some sort of a mind-body connection, understand the physical sensation of the body, like how does happiness feel in the body? How does stress feel in the body? And when you have an understanding of that and you've trained your brain to understand that in a meditative state and your brain is focused on that, then your body can tell you when you're feeling stressed or when you're feeling achy or pains or when you've been holding your shoulders up all day from the stress and you need to lower your shoulders, or you've been sitting for too long. You're like, your body is actually talking to you. But if you're not grounded in your body and you don't have that mind-body connection, then you're not hearing the language from the body.
I must admit, I don't want anyone to think that I'm really good at this stuff or anything, but I have had some minor success with being aware of how it feels when I'm angry. And it actually doesn't feel very good. Like, the body doesn't feel good. And I'm like, how did I spend so many years not even noticing that? But that is something I notice now.
Yeah. Yeah, the body doesn't feel good, particularly because, there's high levels of cortisol going on. You're not breathing. Your breathing is probably shallow breaths, possibly up high in your chest. Mm. So that causes discomfort for the body. So, yeah, our anger, our emotions will show up in our muscles and can be locked into the nervous system. And so it's really important to address our emotions, our emotional well-being. Like, even when we suffer trauma, like a car accident or, physical trauma to the body, we fall down and we hurt ourselves and we're in public and it's a deep humiliation for us. Our egos are shot. Well, that emotion will actually lock itself into that trauma as well. So the wound is not just a physical wound. It's also an emotional wound.
Right.
So
okay.
When we're dealing with healing from wounds, if it happened in a way that was very emotional for you, like a car accident, for example, is not only physically impairing, but it's also emotional, because your whole process, as you're trying to process the car accident and how am I going to pay for this? And, oh no, I was late for this, or, all of the things that are going on in your mind are actually settling into that wound also. Mm. So when you're healing and going through the healing process, you don't just need physical healing. You also need emotional healing to heal the systems of the body.
Mm. So today you wanted to talk about awareness and attitude. Does that tie in a little bit to what we've just discussed?
Yeah, it absolutely does. So awareness, we just really aren't aware most of the time. We're just walking around in going through life in a subconscious state where we're just kind of moving from one thing to the next throughout our busy lives, because most people's lives are so busy and they just don't take time to be aware of present situations or what's going on in the moment. And so awareness is basically freedom from thinking, even if it's just for a minute. Like, if you're like the other day, I was washing the dishes and for just a moment, I like looked in the sink and the bubbles were all iridescent and the sun was coming in through the window and they were like sparkly and shiny.
Yep.
And all I did was focus on the bubbles for a minute and became aware of the bubbles and the warmth of the water on my hands. Like, you know, it's just the absence of any sort of constructive thought and just being aware of, oh, how this feels. Like my body didn't, like the sense of touch didn't have to inform me that the water was maybe too hot or too cold or whatever. Because I was very aware when I was putting my hands into that water, you know, so I knew what the temperature of the water would be. So it's just an awareness state. Also being able to put space between your thoughts. So a lot of times we're just rambling on. I don't know if you've ever, well, you're a radio guy, so maybe.
No, my brain is always rambling.
Yeah, well, exactly. And so, and also, I mean, I used to work in radio and you just have to, you know, it's like you don't ever want to pause and have any what they call dead air.
Oh, yes. Oh, that, yeah, totally. Yeah, so you say
so
stupid things.
Talking.
You say stupid yeah. things sometimes because of that, because you can't have silence.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, yeah, there's no space between your thoughts and the world of radio.
Yeah, yeah. You're still just coming out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that I guess that, and that's, you can think of someone on the radio making noise because they have to make noise and how nonsensical it can be. And I guess that's mm-hmm. what's happening in our brain actually when we, like our self-talk.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. That's the thing is when you have awareness, you're actually able to create an ability to make a choice, a proper choice. Like, I'm going to say this really crazy thing right now, or I'm not. And you actually can choose the thoughts that are going to come out of your mouth or the behaviors that you're going to exude, you know. So you have the opportunity to be in control. You have clarity of mind. You have the ability to choose what you're going to do or say next.
I want to talk about one of my experiences again.
Sure.
And again, it's not very comprehensive or fantastic, but if I notice my brain's halfway through a thought about something that's obsessing about, and then I decide to consciously continue thinking that, like the conversation in my head, if I decide to consciously continue that conversation, I actually lose all interest mm-hmm. in it. Like a complete, yeah. I just, all the energy behind it just disappears and the enthusiasm, and I'm just like, oh, why would I bother? Which is
right.
slightly bizarre, but it's like, who's in charge of my head anyway?
You are. Yeah.
But it doesn't feel like it sometimes, Lani.
There's a quote, and I can't remember who said it, but so the quote is, you are not what you think you are, but what you think you are.
Do you want to unpack that a little?
You're not what you think you are, right? Like, we tend to think of ourselves, we have this ego where we think, you know, we're thinking quite badly of ourselves, we're like way over the top and thinking we're quite, you know, egotistical. But so we have that going on. So for someone who, you know, let's just go easy and talk about body image, you know, I'm ugly, my hair is not the right color, I'm overweight, I'm not wearing the right clothes today, you know, all of those body image thoughts that we can have. That what we're saying is, you're not that. You are not what you think you are.
Yeah.
But what you think you are. So if you think those things, then you ultimately become those things. And so in your experience, you're having this conversation with yourself, and then you actually become aware of the conversation, and you're like, that conversation doesn't even interest me anymore.
Yeah.
So I'm not gonna think those thoughts anymore. And you go on to thinking something else, because we're always thinking. The brain is always thinking because our senses are continually tuned in, and our senses are causing us to think thoughts continually.
Yeah, it's.
But you can control you can control how that's going to happen and whether or not you want to continue on with the thought. And it's really just about the awareness strategy.
Sometimes I think a lot of people feel like they can't control it, or they can't control it as well as they'd like to.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's the brain. So the brain is very lazy. It does not like transformation. It doesn't like change. It doesn't like new stuff. It's hard. It's hard, hard work to take on something new. Because I've said before, creating fresh neural pathways in the brain is similar to anything new that you're trying to do in your life. If you know, if you're making a new roadway, if you're pushing through the bush, if you're, you know, whatever you're doing, if you're trying to create a new pathway, that's hard work. It takes, you know, there's some pre-work that needs to go into it. Like if you're painting a wall, for example, you have to prime it and, you know, wash it and do all these things before you actually get to put the paint on.
Yeah.
And so when we're taking on something new, the brain's like, no, I don't want to do all that work. Let's just not do that. And that's why we feel this sense of frustration when we're in the throes of trying to do something new. Mm. I mean, did you ever try to learn an instrument when you were a child or play a new sport?
I remember having to learn some music on a piano. I say having to because it wasn't totally my idea, but yeah.
Yeah, but it was quite frustrating. I mean, first of all, you didn't want to. So that's another strike against the whole process.
Yes.
But just, again, even if you did want to, I mean, that's where it comes, where it's really important to become aware of the purpose for what you're doing. Because when your purpose is valid and you're invested in that purpose, then pushing through the hard stuff is going to be not easy, but it's going to be manageable. So,
yeah, I'm thinking of a comparison to like people who've had strokes as adults and they have to relearn to walk again. And you kind of it's a popular trope in movies. So and I often think about how hard you don't remember learning to walk because we were too little. Mm-hmm. But it must be quite a frustrating experience as an adult. But the goal is really clear. And you're given the space, and our society gives you space to relearn to do that, and people to help you. And so I'm imagining, but that's the same thing going on in the brain, isn't it? We're having to rebuild pathways, you're talking about here about our mental health, really.
Yeah, I mean the goal, what we focus on in sophrology is mental wellness. So it's really about having tools and being able to maintain your wellness. Because when you're mentally unwell, you need to rework through some things in order to develop a state of wellness where you can comprehend and have the stamina and the mental capacity to work through these things that we're talking about, through the tantrums of the brain or through the withdrawal of addiction, you know, all of these things that are going on in the body. You have to have the mental stamina to do those things, the appropriate attitude for moving through, to push through and say, this is my end goal. I'm trying to get to there. And my brain and I are going to work together. My body and I are going to work together and that's where we're headed. So you start imagining the thoughts in your mind. Now the awareness in your mind now is of the process, the end goal. Maybe you've identified some obstacles that might get in the way and okay, how am I going to deal with those obstacles if or when they come up? And you've already done that whole process. And then you're able to work through and achieve your goals more easily. And it's a process and it's helpful if you have a coach to do it.
Yeah. I have a coach, did you say?
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, we're all teachers or coaches in one way or another, trying to help people sort things out. But it's really difficult to do change on your own because a lot of times you don't really see you don't see all the elements of the change. You know, sometimes people can point things out to you or they can encourage you or, you know, because a lot of times you're not very encouraging to yourself, like, having negative thought processes.
Yeah, yeah. So have I derailed the intention of this conversation at all? Awareness and attitude you wanted to talk about?
No, not really. I mean, we've kind of talked about a lot of it. As far as the attitudes go, the foundation of sophrology, we actually have four attitudes that we work with when we introduce our clients. And the first one is to be curious and to just discover for the first time. And that's sort of a way to build awareness. Like when you, sorry, I'm having a hard time with my throat at the moment. When you start, like, for example, when I was doing the dishes and I was curious about the iridescence of the bubbles and, you know, things like that, and how the warmth of the water felt on my skin. I wasn't just going through it and just being like, oh, I have all these dishes to wash, and being angry about the fact that I had all these dishes to wash. I was really just in the moment, like enjoying the beauty of it. And so when you use your curiosity, you can then become aware of the moment, and that's when you have that clarity of mind. So we like to say, just discover as if it's the first time. Like, you know, imagine like you're a child and you're doing this for the first time. How many of the why questions have you heard from your children as they were growing up and learning things, and their curiosity was piqued? The second attitude that we have is to be present. So sometimes we need to create brackets, like, you know, how you're writing along on a sentence and then you're like, oh, but this thought sort of needs to be in there too. So you like make little brackets and you insert something. And that's kind of what we have to do sometimes in order to become present. Like what you were doing, I'm having this conversation with myself right now, and I don't want to be having this conversation anymore. So you basically put in brackets that conversation and decided, okay, I'm changing this trajectory and I'm going a different direction with my thoughts now. So just pausing when you can become aware of the fact that your body is not responding or your behavior is not responding appropriately to the situation, just pause, take a couple of breaths, two or three breaths, come back into your body and then clear your mind and then be like, okay, this is the direction I actually need to go. So it's about creating that opportunity to make a decision for yourself instead of feeling like you're losing control.
So the use of the word, I just wanted to check the use of the word attitude in sophrology. Has quite a specific purpose by the sounds of it.
Yes, it does. Because sophrology, when you're actually practicing sophrology, you're meditating. So sophrology is balanced breathing, gentle movement of the body, and creative visioning in a state of focused meditation. And when you do that, that's how you build these tools, these internal tools in the body, because you're actually becoming aware and you have a certain attitude. So that aware, that those attitudes are first to be curious, second to be present. And then third is to notice judgment. So in the state of meditation, you might notice a pain or a discomfort or a thought that you have. And then in the meditation, you're inclined to actually start judging that. But what we want to do is just notice that it's happening.
Yeah.
And just be aware of it and then allow it to flow out again and not focus in on that thought and be like, oh, why is that happening? And then try to analyze it in the moment. We're not trying to do that. We're just trying to notice that it came up.
Yeah.
And the last one is to notice aliveness. So this is actually noticing the physical stimulation of the body, and to repeatedly do that. So when you're training your brain to focus differently, you need to have consistent action. So that's about, you know, if I'm teaching you a new concept, or I'm teaching you how to get in tune with your digestive system, will actually work on a meditation for an extended period of time until you feel like you have a relationship with your digestive system. And then we can move on. So it's a repeatedly noticing aliveness, repeatedly noticing the physical stimulation, just embracing the richness of any new sensations that are coming up. And just aliveness is just interacting and noticing something greater than yourself. Sometimes, you know, we tend to, sometimes we feel a bit lonely, like we're trying to get through this life all on our own, but there's actually 11 systems in the body. And when you can recognize those 11 systems are functioning, whether you like it or not, which means something beyond you is helping your body to function. So your heart is beating, the breath that you breathe, you know, you can't not breathe. You can try, but your body will eventually breathe for you.
Yeah.
So noticing the aliveness of the body and the fact that it's functioning, and you might as well learn how to work together with it so that you can enjoy a happy life.
And how easy is that, would you say?
It's not easy.
Yeah.
That's why we are in the state that we're in. It's why we're stressed and life is fast and busy and we're not aware. We're not living consciously. We don't have the right attitudes for the most part. Our thoughts are more focused in a negative strategy rather than a positive one. We're worrying, we're anxious. We're wondering, we're questioning, and our thoughts are not allowed to just flow. Like you actually had the ability to flow with your thought and be like, I don't know why I'm even thinking these thoughts. I'm not having this conversation with myself anymore and I'm stopping. You know, you observed how it was making you feel. And you said earlier, you observed how anger made you feel and you don't want to feel angry anymore. So what is it you're doing to switch from, here's how anger feels, I would prefer to feel more loving or kind or happy. And here's how that feels.
Is it quite important? Is it quite important to say what you're going to feel instead of just like, I'm going to drop it and there's kind of a bit of a void? Is it quite important to say what the intention is, where you want to be?
Yeah, definitely. Because you're talking to your brain now. You're talking to yourself. You're telling your brain, I feel whatever it is you're feeling. Like, for example, at night when I am sleeping, and if I am startled and I wake up and then my thoughts start moving and I'm struggling to go back to sleep, I will actually start thinking the thoughts, I am tired, I am asleep, I am sleeping, you know, sensing my body on the bed, my head on the pillow, the coziness of the blankets, so that I can become present in the moment and present with my thoughts. And I'm telling my brain, I am asleep, and breathing through that. So yes, it's really important to say, whether you're just thinking it in your mind. That's why people do affirmations.
Yeah.
Whether you're thinking it in your mind or you're saying it out loud, the more that you say it, the more you're telling your brain, this is what we want, and this is what we're working towards. So let's make it easy. It doesn't need to be as hard as the brain is making it out to be.
So do you, affirmations part of what you do for your clients?
Yeah. Yep. Some of my meditations are affirmations, and some of them, I actually have meditations where the client creates the affirmation themselves.
Yeah.
And then I record the meditation so that they can, they're saying it in their own words instead of me, you know, creating affirmations. But yeah, we use affirmations. Affirmations are helpful just because it gives you a sense of accomplishment and recognizing the. It also just takes you away from that worrisome space, like, you know, being able to say, "I am grateful that this is happening," instead of saying, "But what if this doesn't happen?" You know.
Yeah.
If it's something you're looking forward to in the future, you can either worry about, oh, but this might happen, or but this might happen. You can think through, okay, what is it I actually want to have happen in the future? And then you can be talking to your brain as if it's already happened. I am grateful that this event turned out so great and the sun was shining and we had an enjoyable time. I mean, maybe the sun doesn't end up shining, but in the process, were you worried? I mean, what does worry do to the body and what does gratitude do to the body? You know, you can choose to be worried or you can choose to be grateful. And then whatever the outcome is doesn't matter because in the journey of getting there, you were grateful for anything.
So you're saying that the point is not to be accurate about the weather forecast. The point is entirely different because we have a thing about being accurate and factually accurate and scientifically accurate in our culture, or some of us do anyway.
Yeah.
But that's completely not the point of what you're doing with this. That's what I'm hearing from you.
Yeah, exactly. It's not. It's what's important is what your body is tuning into the body and what your body is feeling. So, I mean, what type of energy are you creating in your body when you're worried?
Yep.
As opposed to when you're grateful. And so when you can create gratitude, then whatever the outcome is, you're prepared, your response to the outcome is going to be more peaceful and happy because your whole journey to getting there was full of gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really hard to do all of this stuff. I mean, I've been, you know, as long as I've been doing it, and I still, you know, life has ups and downs. I had a client the other day and I was sitting there rubbing my shoulder and she was like, "Why are you rubbing your shoulder?" I said, "It hurts from working on the computer so much." And she said, "But you said that we wouldn't feel pain." I said, "No, I didn't ever say that we wouldn't feel pain."
Yeah.
I said, "We can manage the pain." You know, being able to manage it. I mean, life's a roller coaster. There's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be aches and pains. I mean, our bodies are meant to depreciate as we age. So that's a thing. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
We don't control the environment around us. We don't control what other people do. And so there's going to be ups and downs. And so sophrology is about having wellness tools in place so that you can reach for those tools in the moment when you need them most.
Yeah.
And be able to create a more responsive energy rather than a reactive one.
Yeah, yeah. That feels like that's a nice sum up of what we've been talking about, I think. Are you working on, like, have you got workshops and things like that coming up or working on articles at the moment, Lani? I was interested to see what you're actually up to.
I have a workshop right now that I've been doing. It's called Message in the Body. And it's a process to understand the messages that the systems of the body give to us and how we engage and interact with our body systems. It's a 12-week program because as I said, we have to do meditations and we're retraining the brain. So it takes a lot longer.
Yeah.
So the first 3 weeks we'll do that preparation process, prepping for success, understanding our intentions, creating that purpose, adjusting the mindset. And then we go into the modules where we study all the systems of the body. And then going forward, we create a maintenance program. So how am I going to maintain and continue to apply what I've just learned in the last 12 weeks?
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, it's an ongoing process. It's I don't have any dates coming up right now, but you can email or you can go on my website and get on the wait list and I will let you know when the next workshop is about to begin.
Okay, and the website is sophrosolace.com, is that right?
Yep, S-O-P-H-R-O, sophrosolace.com.
Okay, S-O-L-A-C-E for solace.
As yeah, S-O-L-A-C-E.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, look, Lani, thanks heaps for talking to us this morning. It's been brilliant, again, as usual, and we'll talk to you again in 4 weeks' time.